Your attention, please. The Walt Disney World Railroad, now boarding for a scenic trip around the Magic Kingdom. Board!
Well, Brad, what I am afraid is going to be an ever-increasing frequency of you and I talking about our upcoming trips to Walt Disney World. I have some news to share. Claire and I are going to go to Mickey's Very Merry Christmas Party while we're there.
Yay! That's actually, it's fun. It's fun to go do that one.
Yeah, we've never done any extra ticket event. We've never done the Not So Scary Halloween Party or the Very Merry Christmas Party, so... And we've never seen a Magic Kingdom fireworks show from inside Magic Kingdom. It's always been from Californian, or the Californian, from California Grill.
The Californian, yes.
Yeah, it's always been from the set of that Saturday Night Live sketch.
Which it's kind of crazy. You don't see the fireworks so well from
sound New York
stage, but...
Yeah, super weird.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, so it's exciting. A lady I work with is going to be at Disney World with her husband at the same time, and they were going. So we decided to go on that same night with them.
And you said, twist my arm. I guess I'll do it.
Yeah. Well, and it's expensive. Like, it's a lot of money. And I was like, well, maybe we can just take one ticket, you know, one day ticket off of our plan and kind of make some of that money back and just do, you know, resorts or something that morning and then go into the Magic Kingdom for the Christmas party. And I looked, and the difference between 6 day for two people and 7 day for two people is $14.
So yeah.
It's not even worth it.
Remember that whole, like, the further you get into the less it costs. Yeah. You were well into that, but it's okay, because what you can do is you can bring in a backpack bring in an extra large stroller and just fill it with cookies, man. That's right. So, Disney, I'm getting you back. I'm taking you for all the cookies.
Cold cookies and packed in loose ice in a very large stroller.
And maybe, you know what, and for extra flair, have the stroller vape as it goes down the
put a little haze machine in there. Oh, that would be very funny. Probably, though, Disney wouldn't like it.
And then on the next episode of Really Missing the Mouse because I'm banned.
Yeah, in jail, maybe?
You might be in Mickey jail. And that could be scarier than jail, but...
So I feel like if I was pushing a smoking stroller through the Magic Kingdom, there may be police involvement.
Just dress your kid like Captain EO. Or just put a little Captain EO baby, you know, little doll. Surely your daughter has some baby dolls, and you could definitely dress one up as Captain EO. And then it's just like a cosplay, right? So,
sure.
Problem solved.
But yeah, we're excited to just have that experience of even having just a few less people in the Magic Kingdom for a night, you know? The only time we've ever been in the Magic Kingdom, it's been extremely crowded, you know, as per usual. So just having the fewer people for that extra ticketed event will be nice.
So are you guys adding Park Hopper onto your tickets, or are you doing just one park per day?
Just one park per day.
So you could do your day at a different park, and then
that's what we're gonna do.
Yeah, there you go. So see, you get a little quasi Park Hopper there. Mm-hmm. Plus, that way you haven't done half the Magic Kingdom. And then you show up and try, you know, and run out of stuff, I guess.
Yeah.
Before it all runs out.
We might just do that as a resort day, you know? I mean, for $14 difference, like, we can do whatever we want.
I almost feel like for $14 difference, I would just keep that day on there and do a resort day. And then if I get bored, go into a park.
Yeah.
Or like, be like, okay, we're going to do a resort day. And then we're going to head into Epcot to grab lunch or something.
Because what, they usually let you into the Magic Kingdom like at 4, right?
I do not remember. We've talked about it before, but I don't remember offhand what the entry time is for the hard ticket events.
Because the party starts at 7, and the party is 7 to midnight. But I feel like they let you in a little bit earlier than the party.
They do. They do let you in before the party starts.
So, yeah,
let me rephrase that. They have in the past. They have in the past let you in before the party starts.
I think we'll probably go to Animal Kingdom or something that morning and then head over to the Magic Kingdom in the afternoon. And that night, I mean, they usually give you cookies and stuff, so that night will be a cookie meal.
Mmm, a cookie meal.
Delicious.
Could you bring some, like, lunch meats in and make yourself a cookie sandwich?
Mmm.
Cookies and lunch meats, the best thing to... Oh, my gosh. Okay, can we change... If there's nothing else to discuss, can we change
topics?
I'm driving this bus off a very, very gnarly cliff. So
while it's on fire and...
Let's bail. Hey, by the way, just so you know, Facebook Joe, you know, the guy who every so often provides us with the fun facts.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, he's not our friend anymore. Just so you know.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. He apparently moved to Florida and now he's an annual pass holder. So basically he stole my dream and got there early. So I'm sorry about you, Joe. It was good knowing you.
We'll be sure to block your IP so you can never listen to this show again.
That's right. the show is cutting off for Joe right here. Okay, Jeremy, what are we talking about next?
Oh, hey, it's something that we've never talked about before.
We're going to have to talk about this video, aren't we?
It's Star Wars.
We're going to have to talk about this video, aren't we?
Yeah. So in the past few weeks, we've talked a bit about just the myriad of things that Walt Disney World is doing that just happened to end the day before Galaxy's Edge opens, to just try to get people to come in before Galaxy's Edge so that, you know, there are fewer people when Galaxy's Edge opens. And then I guess this week, Disneyland released a video that is 2.5 minutes of a dude just telling you how to park when Galaxy's Edge opens, which is wild to me that they're releasing a video that is specifically a guy saying, hey, the parking lots on day one will open at midnight. Definitely don't show up before then. Also, why don't you carpool or take an Uber or a Lyft or something? You know, like, please reduce the number of cars that are going to be parking at Disneyland.
Okay. But I feel like you just kind of glazed over one of the first of so many wild things that this video had. On day one, the parking lots will be opening at midnight. The park is not opening at midnight, but you can begin parking for this thing that you have a reservation for.
Yeah. But well, that was another thing he said, is like, there's no reason to get here early because you have a reservation. There's no standby lines.
And there are no standby lines, which was...
Well, he leaned on that phrase quite a bit.
Dude, I'm not looking forward to that part. But yeah, at midnight, you can go ahead and get there into the parking lot. And don't get here before midnight because you can't... He says you can't just stop on city streets waiting for a parking lot to open. Oh my gosh, dude, this is going to be so bonkers. Oh.
I will say, though, kudos to whoever thought to make that, because they've thought of several things, you know, like the people who would just sit there and wait for the parking lot to open. That definitely would happen. I'm sure there's going to be Anaheim PD all over that place, saying keep moving, and people driving up and down Harbor Boulevard, you know, waiting for something to happen so they can park. Or I don't know, man, it's gonna be crazy.
And for the rest of that period, it's going to be 5:30 that the parking lots are gonna, so don't get there before 5:30 because parking lots won't open until 5:30. I also found it interesting that this video, they, you know, hit upon the, there are no reservations available for any of this, you know, this period from what, May 31st to June 23rd, I think.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
But you can still get in if you are staying at the Disneyland Hotel.
Any of the Disneyland hotels.
Yeah.
Any of the three. So, the Grand Californian, the Disneyland Hotel, and the, is it still the Paradise Pier Hotel?
I don't remember what that one's called.
But
I've never stayed at any of them. So
if you're staying in any of those hotels, which I am shocked that there are rooms still available for
that month. That's basically what I expected to hear was there are no reservations available for Star Wars Land and the hotels are booked, so don't even try. That's what I expected to hear.
I'm sure the Grand Californian still has like some $1,200 a night rooms available that you can grab.
So can you fathom a world in which you want to go to Star Wars Land bad enough?
No.
That even though you live in the area, because I feel like there's a possibility that somebody's going to do that. Like, not booking it because they need a hotel room, but booking it because that's the only way to get into Star Wars Land at this point. Star Wars, Galaxy's Edge.
I am so thankful that my vacation is in December. And like, even though it opens at the end of August at Walt Disney World, that's still a 2-month buffer.
Oh, and it's going to be wild. It's going to be wild when I go a month later. And I know this already, but yeah, the more that I hear about this stuff, the less I want to be there on opening weekend, opening week, opening whatever, dude, because it gives me the heebie-jeebies to think about how crazy this is going to get.
The interesting thing is the parking. Walt Disney World's not going to have to deal with that as much. Walt Disney World has many fewer people who live in the area who are coming and way more vacationers who are going to stay on property. So they'll definitely have to, I think you'll be seeing many more Mears branded buses going to and from Hollywood Studios.
Oh, I entirely
expect. Because
they're going to
be bulking up.
Let me just go ahead and put that out there, put this out there right now for anybody who is planning on being there. Opening day, opening weekend, opening week, but definitely opening day. If you want to park at Disney's Hollywood Studios, you had better be there early to park at Disney's Hollywood Studios, because the other issue there is that, you know, even if they finally get all the parking lot taken care of, because remember, they've had huge chunks of it taken out and torn up for all of the construction that they've been doing, it's not going to hold everybody. They're going to be bussing people in from, you know, they're going to be parking you at Epcot, probably. And bussing people across. So yeah, if you actually want to park your car at Disney's Hollywood Studios, you're still going to have to get there early. And I feel like the same thing, like, I don't know. Disneyland is this weird thing. Like, on the one hand, the parking, as wild as it's going to get, should only get so wild because, like, you still have to have a reservation to get in.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm just like, I would not be surprised to hear the news story about, you know, the rioting crowd that broke down the wall into Star Wars Land. you know what? Like,
yeah.
And please understand, I don't want to hear about that. Like, I want everybody to, you know, handle this in an orderly fashion, be nice to the cast members, and understand that the cast members who are there were not the ones who decided to, you know, how many passes were going to be given out for every day, for every period. They weren't the ones who decided how those would be.
Be nice to the cast members, please.
Yeah, yeah. But even outside of that, like, I don't want to hear about all that stuff, but I could fathom hearing about all that stuff, because I can fathom people who didn't get a reservation for opening day, who maybe didn't get a reservation at all, who will still just want to be at Disneyland the day that land opens, even if they can only just look across at it, right? Or whatever, they're still going to want to be there. So, yeah, it's going to be wild, dude. It's going to be
crazy.
At
Walt Disney World, do you think they would park people at or around Caribbean Beach and then bus them to the Skyliner station? Like, if there were some auxiliary lots around Caribbean Beach, like nearby, that they could shuttle you to Caribbean Beach to the Skyliner, because that's a direct Skyliner route to and from the Caribbean Beach station.
That's interesting, because I know that they've used, like, Epcot and Hollywood Studios in the past have swapped parking lots, essentially, where they've parked overflow crowds at one and bus them to the other. But that was all pre this being there. So, yeah, I guess I could see that happening. That's an interesting thought. But I guess the other question is how much parking do they have there?
It seems to me with the Skyliner, you could even, you know, park people at Epcot and give them the option. You know, you can take this Skyliner from Epcot to... So I'm trying to think, because the Skyliner at Epcot goes from the International Gateway. So you really couldn't put people on the Skyliner from Epcot. That would be dumb, because it would take way longer to get from Epcot to Hollywood Studios on the Skyliner than it would to just walk around the lake. But do you think that they would direct people who are, like, leaving Epcot through the International Gateway to say, like, hey, if you're going to Hollywood, I don't know. Yeah, that would require a park hopper, and that probably wouldn't work.
Yeah, yeah. Anybody who would be coming from, you know, to like park at Epcot, you would have to have that. And I feel like it would be easier to just bus them across. So I don't think
walk through the park and out the back and then walk half a mile around a lake.
Yeah, so theoretically, right? Theoretically, you could actually walk people through the backstage area to the Skyliner, but that would just be such a nightmare from a logistical standpoint. Yeah. And the logistics are already all worked out for how the bus stuff happens, because they've done it before. That I think it's going to be overflow parking at Epcot. They'll bus you across to Disney's Hollywood Studios, and they will pray that most people will not park. And I don't know. Hopefully, all of that said, I also don't think they're going to need a video for Walt Disney World's parking.
No. Maybe it would serve them better to filter people through the World Showcase. Like, make sure that all the good-smelling foods are being prepared.
Ooh, yeah.
And, like, don't let them walk. Don't let them turn right and, like, walk through Canada and make them turn left and, like, start at Mexico and walk all the way around through the American Adventure, through France, and then get out.
The issue there is that I fully anticipate that parking lot filling up before Hollywood Studios actually opens, right? So you're going to be redirecting people to Epcot before Hollywood Studios actually opens. So the only place that's actually going to be open for you to get any food is going to be Norway. And sure, you have to have a reservation to eat there. So
Open the World Showcase and tell them you need to slow these people down.
Right.
Tempt them.
They're sending out all of the different performers. In fact, they're bringing back old performances that haven't been seen in forever, just to try to get in people's way. They actually start doing the Christmas Around the World stuff just to try to. It's basically an obstacle course to get to the International Gateway, to get on a Skyliner, all in an effort to slow down people trying to get to Star Wars Galaxy's Edge.
I wouldn't put it past them. This is going to be crazy.
It's going to be crazy, but it's going to sound cool. I'm excited about the... So Disney recently, again, is continuing to news dump Star Wars news on us. And they dump the Galaxy's Edge theme. And they really excited me, right, when I heard this theme. Because I'm like, oh, man, this is getting me all pumped up. Symphonic Suite. Let me look at the exact name.
Yeah, come on, man.
Yeah, I can't just call it a theme. But then they announced something that made me even happier when they said, this is for the rides and stuff. When you're walking around Galaxy's Edge, you're going to be hearing all sorts of different music. It's going to be more like if you're in a city or something. The more that I thought about it, I'm like, well, that's not really perhaps unique to Star Wars Galaxy's Edge, but it does sound like they're taking it further. So, you know, all of the areas have theme or background music loops, right?
Mm-hmm.
But they're saying it more like you walk past this one place and you're going to hear, you know, some music happening, and you walk past another place and there's going to be entirely different music coming out of this area. So I don't know. I'm excited. You know what I'm really excited for? I'm excited to get some background music loop recordings.
Yeah.
From Star Wars Galaxy's Edge.
So this, you have the collector bug where you see, you know, magic band upgrades and you gotta have it, you know, like we talked about last week. I have a bug where I want all of the ambient audio from everywhere because I love just putting on, like, while I'm working or while I'm at home cooking dinner, just the ambient music bed from Main Street or the music bed for, you know, Critter Country or something. Like, I love that ambient music that's composed specifically to be heard in the background to set the scene. And to know that they are composing music that is specifically supposed to set the scene, not only just in Galaxy's Edge, but in different parts of Galaxy's Edge. Like, so the you know, lightsaber, the build your lightsaber area will have different kind of ambient music than where the Millennium Falcon is parked to over by Rise of the Resistance, where it's a resistance base, will have, you know, different music or no music playing. You know, I love this bespoke music that exists only to set expectations and to set a scene, even subconsciously. Because so one of my favorite things about Walt Disney World is there is a transition from Adventureland to Frontierland, and it happens over by Aloha Isle and the Tiki Room. And there's a little ramp you can go down. And the music in Adventureland and the music in Frontierland blend so seamlessly that it's like you don't hear the music in Frontierland when you're in Adventureland and vice versa. But they blend so seamlessly that you also don't notice that you've gone into a completely different area of the park. And so they've made these bespoke tracks that are made specifically to guide you into a new area. And I love the thought that different sections of Galaxy's Edge even will have different tracks. And I'm very excited to hear that.
Yeah, and the idea that they came up with where they say in-universe ambient music will play at the Marketplace shops, and the droid DJ will spin alien pop music in the local cantina, while the thematic symphonic scores will be reserved for the attractions and shows within the land. So you're getting at least three different things coming out of this, and possibly, you know, so if you've got the shops are going to have one music, the DJs at the cantina, and the symphonic scores are for the attractions, then that means that, yeah, is there no music? Is there a bunch of kind of just different but the same ambient music throughout? Like, I'm excited to hear what they're going to do. And I was excited by this symphonic suite. And I love when they say, so in the, so it actually wasn't Disney, but it was OC Register who went and talked to Disney and got the information on this. The link will be in the show notes. But the part where the Imagineering person says orchestras just don't pop out of ferns, so there isn't really a background music track.
Right.
That is awesome to me to say. Orchestras don't pop out of ferns, so you don't expect to hear an orchestra while you're walking around the city.
Right.
If you do hear it, that takes you out of the immersive experience, and we're trying to create an immersive experience.
Right. I think it's going to be incredible. I have a few issues with them saying that, and then, you know, having rocks that are speakers that are shaped like rocks and in the other lands and having ambient music in those lands. Like, why doesn't it take you out of those lands, you know?
Yeah, I guess it's all about what story you're trying to tell.
Sure.
Right, like I don't think when I go to Frontierland, I don't inherently think that they're trying to authentically transport me and make me think I'm currently in the Old West.
Into the Old West, yeah.
Right, but I think at Star Wars Land, they want me, the everything that Disney has said up until this point, and we'll see when we actually go for ourselves and when reports start coming out of these lands, but the impression Disney has given is, we want you to feel like you are actually in, you know, Black Spire Outpost. Is that the name of the place? That sounds right. So, mm-hmm. yeah, we're going to go with that. Black Spire Outpost is where we want you to feel like you are. And we want you to feel like this is a real place, not just a theme park land. And so I feel like that's the difference. And that's why it is okay for that to be the case in Frontierland or in Future World or even in the World Showcase. Because while we want to give you the overall feel of this land, we're not going to pretend like you're also not still in a theme park version of this country or whatever.
Yeah, I can see that. Yeah, I'm very excited, especially for, like you said, the hope that they will release all of these scores.
Yeah, they gave us the thematic. What, when Pandora came out, they gave us music from Pandora.
Mm-hmm.
So there's a chance, dude. There's a chance we can get we might get some of the loops actually just legit from Disney, and I won't have to listen to what is. And please, the people who take the time to record those background loops, I have nothing but respect for. Please don't take this as I'm saying, oh, those are horrible. But even I feel like even someone who records background loops would say, I would much rather not have to do this. I would much rather Disney right. just give it to me straight from the horse's mouth. But right. I make do with what I can.
And man, I so wish, and I know that this probably will never happen because of copyright laws, but I just got to put this out into the world again. Disney of America, please release all of the music you ever make for everything, just like Disney in Japan does. I don't know what the difference is, but the Japanese Disney people release all of the music for everything. And I'll even pay exorbitant Disney amounts of money for CDs or digital downloads or whatever you want. But just give me all the music. That's all I want. You've already got it. Just let me download it.
Don't worry. That's the after they get ESPN Plus, Disney Plus, Hulu Plus, that'll be the next thing they work on. So it's coming, Jeremy.
Just, right.
Just keep the faith.
Right. I think that'll do it for this episode. You can follow us on Twitter at MTM Podcast. You can like us on Facebook at facebook.com/MTM Podcast. And you can visit us on the web at missingthemouse.co. We'll be back next week with a brand new episode. And until then, have a magical day.